You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I hope you're all having a great Monday, January 10th. Welcome, or January 11th, sorry, guys. I don't know how to count today, apparently. How are we doing today, guys? I know most of you listening are probably Pittsburgh fans, so we all probably had a pretty rough night last night with the Pittsburgh Steelers losing to the Cleveland Browns in the wild card game. For all of your information on that for the Steelers, go check out Christopher Carter over at Locked On Steelers. He has you set. Trust me, he will get you all set on that. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, as always. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Locked On over here, we all love Built Bar. It's one of the best things that, honestly, one of the better advertisements, one of the better products that I've tried in a long time. I really like the peanut butter flavored ones. They're all chocolate covered protein bars that are really good. They get you hyped up for your workday, hyped up for whatever you're doing. And if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will get 20% off of your next order. So make sure you go to builtbar.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON. That is LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off of your next order. So today on the podcast, we are going to talk about the outfielding prospects that we have going into 2021, and I will go ahead and pretty much say as a disclaimer, we probably aren't going to see any of these guys mentioned be on the major league roster except maybe September call-ups. The only ones that I would say would be on here would be Jared Oliva and maybe Cal Mitchell, but outside of that, I don't see anyone else. So we're going to start from top to bottom. We're going to get a couple done before a break, and then we're going to come back and finish it. But we're going to get started from the bottom. The number 29 ranked prospect in the Pittsburgh Pirates system is outfielder Matt Gorski, who is currently a part of the West Virginia Black Bears, which is short A baseball. 23-year-old was drafted in the second round in the 2019 draft, 57th overall, with an estimated time of appearance coming in 2022. Being at 23, he has a 45 hit grade out of 80, a 60 running, 50 fielding, 50 power, 55 arm, and 40 overall. So, with Gorski, he was in college for pretty much the 4 years that he could be, being 23 and being drafted out of college. He was always a pretty good college hitter. He has a very good power and speed combination, and honestly, like, being at Indiana did help him. He had some really good hitting coaches there as well. He was signed under the slot of $1 million by the Pirates after being selected in that second round. And he has struggled a little bit in terms of where he's been. Last year, in 2019 in West Virginia, though, he had a very solid year in 49 appearances. He had 179 at-bats, a .297 on-base percentage, .346 slugging percentage, 3 home runs, 22 RBIs, and I'm trying to see his average here, but it's not popping up. .223 average. There we go. So he wasn't getting on base that much. I mean, his on-base percentage, .297, not the worst thing in the world, but a .223 hitting, especially in short A in West Virginia. Not the greatest, but you can't really expect much out of the guy. He could be there as a backup outfielder at some point, but I would expect him to be in the minors for a pretty long time, maybe even for most of his Pirates career. But Gorski's been doing pretty good. I mean, you look at him, he's 6'4", 198. He has pure athleticism out there in the outfield. But it's just going to be a matter of time to see if he can actually do a lot with it. He does have all the raw talent, but can he, like, fix his mechanics and his approach at the plate? I'm not really sure. So Gorski would probably be the guy that I would say has the least potential, but not in terms of talent. Like, he has the talent, but in terms of his potential, I'm not really sure what he's going to be bringing to the plate, so we're not going to really stick with him too much. Moving to the number 27 overall player in the Pirates organization, who has been with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization for a pretty long time, from the Bradenton Marauders, which is Advanced A. That's going to be Lolo Sanchez. He signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates back on July 2nd, 2015, which was in the midst of that three-year span where the Pittsburgh Pirates were all over the place in baseball. And, I mean, this guy, nothing in terms of power. He's not a power hitter. He's kind of more of that speedster with a 50-hit rating, 60-run rating, 55-field rating, 55 arm, and a 35 power rating out of 80. He is still only 21, standing 5'11", 168. And Sanchez has shown glimpses of his dynamic potential for the last two seasons, which has been very interesting. He signed for $450,000 back in 2015. But in terms of like his overall kind of outlook with the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's going to be very interesting to see him get into a mold of actually being a part of the organization at some point. But he definitely knows how to make contact with the ball. As we look at his stats here in his career, the lowest he's ever hit was 235 in 2016 in rookie ball. But ever since then, he's hit 284 in 2017, 243 in 2018, and 257 as he was called up and down a couple times in that season. So on his career in the minors, 254 average, 13 home runs, 99 RBIs, 121 walks. But he struck out 168 times, 72 times in 114 games in 2018. But he definitely knows like what he's doing. But if you also look at what his main like statistics are and what kind of player he is, Sanchez is a base stealer. He only had 4-14 stolen bases in his first 2 years in the minors. But in 2018 and 2019, he eclipsed the 30 mark in stolen bases with 30, and his career best average last season or 2 years ago with 33, having 81 career stolen bases over four seasons, which is a pretty good number. And the Pirates, I would say, don't have that base stealer right now. So Sanchez, obviously, you're not going to see him come up this year. His estimated time is 2022. I wouldn't expect Sanchez to come up at all this season, even in September call-ups, and it would be pretty deep into next year as well, I think, before he gets the nod, just because his really, like right now, his only kind of thing that he's been consistently good at is his base stealing. But if you're looking for more of that defensive base stealing outfielder, Sanchez is the guy you would want. I think he could fit the kind of fourth outfielder profile, being as the Pirates do have a, like, the outfield is definitely probably one of their more weak points, but they easily could do something with him and say, hey, late in the eighth or ninth inning, we need a base stealer on the base pass down one run. Sanchez could be that fourth outfielder to even play center field or right field if they need be, and it could really work for him. You never know. But again, he's another one of those guys where I wouldn't expect Sanchez to really make an impact anytime soon. And realistically, seeing him in the majors is probably more of a late 2022, early 2023 thing. And before we get to the break, we are going to talk about one more guy, and honestly, one of my favorite guys in the Pittsburgh Pirates system, and that is from the Bradenton Marauders, Advanced A, Cal Mitchell, who was the second-round pick back in the 2017 draft. He's a left-handed, left-throwing outfielder. And, I mean, you look at his overall scouting grades and report, he 50 hitter, 45 running, 45 fielding, 50 power, 40 arm, and 45 overall. He was a first round conversation kind of guy before he had issues in his senior season. Happens to the best of everybody. But it is very nice to see that already in his minor league career, he went to full season ball in his first full year of pro ball and more than held his own as a South Atlantic League All-Star. So that was in 2018. And then in 2019, he was an All-Star again in the Florida State League. He only hit 218, though, being an All-Star. His swing, though, is really good. Like, I mean, like, he has the kind of pop in a left-handed bat, especially in a ballpark like PNC Park, where left-handed hitters can thrive with that short right field wall. His trajectory on his hits that I've seen personally is just really, really good. And seeing the fact that he has some pop, and a guy like, I kind of compare him to a poor man's Gregory Polanco right now, but if he can continue to build that pop and like literally just make it go, it's going to be fun. And I mean, you look at his stats too. Cal Mitchell is like a complete polar opposite from, like, say, the other guys in the system, like Alolo Sanchez. So we look at his stats. He's played three seasons in minor league baseball, and kind of the trend that you've seen is his home runs have, like, went up, like, pretty much almost double every season. So in 2017, he hit 245, two home runs, 20 RBIs. Pretty subpar year for playing only 43 games, but not a big sample size. Now, again, in 2018 and 2019, when he got those all-star appearances, he hit 280 with 10 home runs and 65 RBIs in West Virginia, and 251, 15 home runs and 64 RBIs in Bradenton. So you really look at him and you're saying, okay, Gregory Polanco is going to get paid his money this season, but they can let him go, which is going to probably be the case. I think slotting Cal Mitchell in there in right field after this season, so not 2021, but it is a possibility. They say he could come up this year, but if he can come up after the fact, that would be a really, really fun thing to see, just because I feel like he would basically fill that role back in, not immediately right away, but he could. And that's why I think he's one of the more interesting guys in the system, because when you have a left-handed hitter like Gregory Polanco on your roster already, who's getting you about 15 or 20 home runs a year, albeit only hitting 200, you can save $7 million, like, which they probably will, slot Cal Mitchell into that spot, and you basically have the same kind of hitter, but you're paying significantly less money and letting him get his major league reps. I am excited for Cal Mitchell, as a lot of people in the Pirates organization are. That's why they drafted him second in the second round in 2017. And they've been kind of careful with him, which I also like. And being only 21, they don't have to rush him. Now, like I said, he could be the guy where you see him in September call-ups. It's very possible. You're not going to see him in 2021 unless something really drastic happens. And, I mean, when you look at who the Pirates have in the outfield right now on the Major League roster, it's Polanco, Reynolds, Oliva, Alford. As of now, we don't know if Derek Shelton is going to slot O'Neill Cruz out in the right field like we've heard rumors of, or if he's going to experiment with Phillip Evans or even Adam Frazier, who's still on the roster. We don't know what he's going to do yet. But one thing I will say is one thing you should be doing is using betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag has been nothing but great to me, and there is only one place that has you covered and the one place we trust, and that is BetOnline.ag. Create your free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, that is LOCKED, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus, meaning that if you put $50 or $100 in there, you're going to get some free money to use on betting needs. Like tonight, we have Ohio State and Clemson playing in the national championship game. I'm creating a parlay for it. I haven't done it yet. I will be doing it after this podcast and probably showing you guys on Twitter at LockedOnPirates, by the way. And just have fun with it. Make yourselves use some free money and just go out there and have fun. They're completely guaranteed. They're an offshore site as well, so you can bet almost anywhere as long as your state guidelines are okay with that. And I would do it. It's fun. I love betonline.ag. They've been nothing but great to me. And when we come back from the break, I believe we have, let me see real quick, I believe we have about three or four more guys to cover. Three more guys to cover when we get back from the break. So we will be right back. Alrighty, guys, welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates every day, a part of the Locked On Sports Network. I am your host, Ethan Smith, Pittsburgh superfan. You guys are probably a little surprised that I'm actually doing a podcast today after that Steelers game. But you can't bet on every team to win, but one thing you can do is check out Locked On Bets. That is Locked On Sports Network new betting show. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. A lot of wins. We need a lot of wins after that. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, NFL and collegiate football and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. They are on Apple, Megaphone, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. So make sure you check those guys out. They have all of your betting needs as well. And they also use betonline.ag, one of our good sponsors that I talked about before the break. So we're going to keep moving into the prospects here in the outfield, and we're going to start with Jared Oliva. Jared Oliva is pretty much the one lock in the outfield of the younger batch that is going to be out there in 2021. He did play a little bit last year. We do remember that. He played 6 games and 16 at-bats in Major League Baseball last year, hitting .188. Didn't have the greatest thing, but it's also a very small sample size. The reason I say that is now we go to Jared Oliva's career in the minors. He started in West Virginia like a lot of the draft picks do. If you remember, Oliva was also a 2017 draft pick, much like Cal Mitchell, except he was drafted a little later in the 7th round. But even when he was drafted, people expected Oliva to be a little more ready just because of his age, being already 25. He started off pretty hot, I'm not going to lie. 266, he's not a big home run guy, but he had 17 RBIs, 17 walks in that season, and a .327 on-base percentage in his first year. His average and his on-base percentage moved up the year after, as well as his home runs, and I would say 2018 in terms of his overall play was probably his best year in Bradenton. He hit .275, 9 home runs, 47 RBIs, and 396 at-bats with a .354 on-base percentage and a .424 slugging percentage. So again, he's not the biggest home run hitter, but he does have that kind of knack to hit home runs if he needs to, which he then proved in Altoona in AA when he played with the Curve in 2019, hitting .277, career best average, 6 home runs, 42 RBIs, 42 walks, career best average, 36 stolen bases. So one thing that you get with Oliva that you don't really get with a guy like Lolo Sanchez is he has that speed on the base pass with the 84 career stolen bases in 3 years and 1 stolen base with the Pirates in his 6 games last year. But one of the things that you get with Oliva that you don't get with Sanchez is that minimal amount of power. But I won't say it's a minimal amount of power just because he has the ability to do it, but he's much more of a guy who's going to get you kind of those doubles and singles and then work his way around the base pass himself, which is what I think and I would like to see. Is I think we're going to see Anthony Alford play out there first, but I would like to see Oliva get reps out there and be the leadoff guy. So I'm not sure, nobody's really sure about how the lineup's going to pan out, but I would love to see Oliva lead off and then have like a Key Brian Hayes or a Kevin Newman batting second, or even third. That way you kind of get like Key Brian Hayes, Brian Reynolds, Colin Moran, Gregory Polanco. You're kind of top of the order. You get them a guy on base already and give them really good RBI opportunities, which raises their ability to just like get some confidence going early in the year. Now, we do remember in 2019, he did suffer a concussion, even though it was one of his better years. He started off slow. His exit velocities. Now, I'm a big guy on exit velocities. The Pirates had one of the better exit velocities in Major League Baseball last year, if I'm not mistaken, even though the team was historically bad. His normal like exit velocity is usually above 100. For a guy that quick who's hitting the ball that hard, that's pretty good. We already know that he has the speed. His 60 running out of an 80 grade scale will prove that. His 55 hitting out of an 80 scale will prove that he can do that. Many in the Pirates organization, though, I believe, probably thought of him as kind of more of a fourth outfielder type, kind of like Lolo Sanchez could be. But it's starting to look like Oliva could be, I don't want to say the future in the center field, but he could be kind of like that bridge gap kind of guy who could really make a difference. And I mean, like, if he can do it, it'll be good. And it's also very surprising that they have him rated so low in the Pirates organization at number 11. I'm not saying that's a bad spot. It's not. But I mean, the fact, like, he's ready. He's going to be in the Pirates 40-man roster in the 26-man MLB roster. I'm excited to see what he can do in 2021. We then move to Sammy Siani. One of the guys that, again, doesn't get talked about a lot. He waited a while to get drafted. 37th round in the CBA. His estimated time, though, this is one of those guys where it's really going to be a while. Ciani, only 20 years old. Again, a left-handed batter, left-handed thrower. He's a 50 overall on a 2080 grading scale, which is not too bad. But when his estimated time is 2023, it's going to be a while before we ever really see Ciani play. You look at his stats too, and he's only played 1 year and it was rookie ball. So it was a 241 average, no home runs, 9 RBIs in 39 contests, 133 at bats in there. One of the concerns that I had when seeing some of his rookie ball footage was he does have a tendency to strike out a lot. But again, when you're only 20 years old, Ciani could end up being, to be drastic, he could end up being the next Bryce Harper, or he could be like just a normal guy in the farm system that eventually gets brought up as a fourth or fifth outfielder. He apparently, like, so one thing that the scouting staff beforehand, now we obviously have a new farm system, liked about him is he has the ability to put the barrel on the baseball, and he does it consistently. But again, it's just very hard to gauge it. But from what I've heard from reading things about the scouting department from before is Ciani kind of has Cal Mitchell-like hitting ability, but he's quicker. But he's also younger by a year, but he wasn't like highly touted like Cal Mitchell was. Expect Ciani to play center field if he does eventually ever come up. But again, it's just very hard to gauge it just because he's so far away. Like, I mean, most of these guys are still pretty decently far away as well. I'd say the only ones that aren't like ridiculously far away are probably Cal Mitchell, Oliva, who's obviously there. And then the next two and the last guy we will mention here in a second. But, Ciani is going to be fun. I don't know if it's Ciani or Ciani, by the way. So if you hear me say it two different ways, I apologize. I just don't know which one is which. But I expect him to be okay. It'll be nice if we do get some minor league baseball experience for him for the next couple years. We know COVID kind of messed that up a little bit, but I would expect him to be fine. And last but certainly not least, a guest of the podcast recently engaged a couple months ago, or recently married a couple months ago, would be Travis Swaggerty, the 23-year-old left-handed hitter, a former first-round pick out of in 2018 out of the wonderful University of South Alabama. And when you talk about power and speed, I think Swaggerty has it. That's kind of why they drafted him so high at 10th overall in that 2018 draft. The 5'11", 180 pound prospect has a 50 hitting, 60 running, 55 fielding, 50 power, 55 arm, 50 overall on the 2080 grading scale. And again, we talked to Swaggerty on this podcast a while back. He's a great guy. Absolutely loved him. I'd love to have him back. If he's listening, we'd love to have you back, Travis. So in 2018, he started kind of slow, 239, 5 home runs, 20 RBIs. It was just kind of a weird year for him. But then last year in Bradenton, I absolutely loved what I saw from him, hitting 265, 2019, 2 years ago, 265, 9 home runs, 40 RBIs, 57 walks. So he has the discipline at the plate that I like. I love guys that are disciplined at the plate to know what they're doing. It's going to be fun to see what Swaggerty does. And, I mean, you really look at what he's kind of done. His speed is going to be his biggest strength, just because it can allow him to play anywhere in PNC Park on the field, but also get into the lineup and be like that speedster. So if you really have kind of caught a lot of what's going on in the outfield, especially in the farm system, which I'd say the outfield in the farm system is probably the weakest link in terms of the like different position groups. But the thing is with him, he has the high walk rate. He has the speed to play on both sides of the baseball, and he's going to be a big base-stealing threat, much like these other guys. But of all of the guys that have base-stealing like ability in the farm system, Swaggerty is the best hitter as of right now. Now, Cal Mitchell, I think, could get there, but he's going to be more of that power guy. Oliva is also there, too. But Swaggerty, it's going to be kind of iffy if we get to see him in 2021. I'm not really sure. I would lean more towards no, just because I do expect the Pirates to maybe bring in one more veteran outfielder for the roster just in case, but I'm also not really sure. Swaggerty, though, I would say of the two outfielders that I've named, Swaggerty and Mitchell are probably the two that I'm most excited to see in Buccos uniforms at some point. Swaggerty is definitely that guy. I could see him in September being called up to the roster. And then also to, like, Swaggerty is, he's, you watch him play, he has a knack for baseball. He's a very good outfielder. He has a good sense of the game, a good sense of where to place himself defensively, a good sense of where the ball is going when he's at the plate. He's just one of those guys who has the natural knack for baseball. And then another thing too, I like to get into this kind of aspect of things. These are guys that are just listed as outfielders right now. Nick Gonzalez, we have no idea where that kid is going to play. He could play everywhere if he really wants to. We have no idea where he's going to play when he comes up. Oneil Cruz has been talked about as a potential right fielding option to fill in that void for Gregory Polanco whenever he leaves, or if Polanco is not at 100% when the season starts. We don't know. Leover Piguero, the shortstop, number 5 overall in the organization, could end up being an outfielder. Realistically, the only guys in the system that are probably going to stay as infielders or stay in their position is Key Brian Hayes at third base, Jiwon Bae at second base and shortstop. I would say Mason Martin at first. Kevin Kramer will stay at second. And then after that, it's just kind of very out there. You're either an outfielder or you just don't know where you're playing yet, or you're a pitcher. So it's going to be very interesting. I mean, the outfielders, again, is the outfield is easily the, like, kind of weird point of the team right now. Because, like, the middle infield, you have Kevin Newman. We haven't traded Adam Frazier yet. Cole Tucker, Oneil Cruz, Eric Gonzalez. And then you have Key Brian Hayes at third for a while. Colin Moran's going to man the first base pass now because Josh Bell's gone. So he's going to be there. And then, I mean, but after that, there's a lot of questions in this outfield, in the farm system, and up top. We've talked about it before. Can Brian Reynolds get back to that 300 batting average that he's had for his entire life? I mean, the kid's barely ever, if ever, hit under 300 until last year. Can Anthony Alford live up to the hype that the Toronto Blue Jays thought he was going to live up to in Pittsburgh? Is Jared Oliva going to take a step up and be very nice? I mean, is Gregory Polanco going to not hit barely above the Mendoza line and knock some balls into the Allegheny this year? If he does play good, and like we talked about this with Bucks in the Basement a couple weeks ago as well, what if he hits 25 home runs? Do you actually sign him back? I mean, it's very possible. But there's a lot of questions heading into 2021, and I mean, I can't give you the answers. I will say that. I mean, I think you guys know that. You're just here just because we like to talk about Bucco baseball. But some of those answers will be answered in 2021 and beyond. And I'm glad you guys are here along the ride. Baseball is starting pretty soon, but also to end off this podcast, the Steelers are now about to be moving to probably one of their most crazy off seasons and most action-packed off seasons in a while, with a lot of players thinking about retiring. So check out Christopher Carter at Christopher Critiques over there at Locked On Steelers. And hockey starts on Wednesday. The Pittsburgh Penguins will kick off their season against the Philadelphia Flyers. So check out the Locked On Penguins podcast as well for all of you yinzers that just love Pittsburgh sports. Again, guys, have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy the national championship tonight if you are college football fans. And you guys have a fabulous rest of your day.